always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The water's rising in Southern California. It's been getting battered by extremely strong rain and wind since Sunday afternoon. State of emergency declared in 8 counties. That's the sound of floodwaters in Santa Barbara. Senators have released their long-awaited $118 billion border security bill, which House Speaker Mike Johnson already says is dead on arrival in the House of Representatives. Today, a Michigan jury is expected to begin deliberating the fate of Jennifer Crumbly, the first parent in the U.S. charged in a child's school shooting. Celine Dion making a surprise appearance at the Grammy Awards last night, announcing the biggest win of the evening.
And the Grammy goes to... Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift making Grammy history. That was her fourth album of the year Grammy. She says she is releasing another album this coming April. This is ABC News. The U.S. promising more retaliation after the drone strike that killed 3 Americans in Jordan. 3 days of airstrikes have hit more than 100 Iranian-backed targets in Iraq, Syria, and Yemen. Head of the Summer Olympics, Paris wants to cut back on the number of big SUVs on the streets. City residents have approved a measure that would triple parking fees for big SUVs, around $20 for up to 2 hours and $250 for 6 hours. The mayor says they just take up too much space. And in movie theaters over the weekend.
It was not da bomb. It was a bomb.
You and I, we're not so different. Agent Argyle.
Argyle, the $200 million star-studded spy thriller from Apple Studios, debuted at number one at North American box offices, but with just $18 million in ticket sales, according to studio estimates. Ticket buyers gave Argyle a C-plus on CinemaScore. Second place was the Christian drama series The Chosen. The Beekeeper was third. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Sherry Preston, ABC News.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
You look at Taylor Swift, she fought off the bitterness of defeat when she lost her records, when she was kind of duped by a manager. People who told her she'd never amount to anything. But it doesn't matter if you like her music or not. I'm a fan of anyone. Doesn't matter whether they're an artist or an athlete or just a common Jane or Joe. If you've overcome something in your life, you're a winner. If you've made it through, that's what it's all about.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
My name is Juanita Segura, and I was diagnosed in November of 2014 with non-small cell lung cancer. Biomarker testing was a turning point for me. By working with my oncologist, we were able to determine the most appropriate treatment plan. My fear was I wasn't going to be here to see my children grow up. That gave me hope, knowing that I have that chance, and I did. Visit noonemissed.org for more.
A public service message from Longevity Foundation.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehoe. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. 2 redistricting experts are throwing out 2 proposed sets of legislative maps drawn by Republicans, but they're not endorsing any of the remaining 4 proposals, all drawn by Democrats, liberal groups, or university professors. The experts were hired by the state Supreme Court as part of the justices' plan to redraw Wisconsin's political maps. New maps need to be in place by March 15th. The state Supreme Court will hear a lawsuit filed by Governor Tony Evers that the Republican-controlled legislature is obstructing basic government function. Evers filed the lawsuit after legislative leaders blocked funding for a number of state conservation programs and delayed in approving pay raises for University of Wisconsin employees. Evers argues that committees controlled by just a few Republican lawmakers are giving the legislature more power than the state constitution allows. I'm Nate Wiggehoe, Civic Media News.
Wisconsin loses to Purdue. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, the Badgers losing 75-69 before a nationally televised audience. That's back-to-back losses now. Head coach Greg Gard.
I think the losing a game always gets your attention more, but I don't think there's anything that we have seen transpire in the last 2 games that we hadn't talked about before, and it's masqueraded by winning.
NBA, the Bucks came up short in Utah. Final score 123-108. Head coach Doc Rivers asked about Damian Lillard, who appeared to be playing despite an injury.
Yeah. We think he's okay, but he was struggling all game with the ankle.
The Bucks road trip continues tomorrow night in Phoenix. And the teams for Super Bowl 58 have arrived in Las Las Vegas, and already the trash talk is underway. 49ers defensive end Nick Bosa asked about the Chiefs' right guard Trey Smith and right tackle Juwan Taylor.
Taylor and Smith leads the NFL. Ton of penalties. Anything stand out when you watch them?
They hold a lot.
That's the 49ers' Nick Bosa. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
A mix of clouds and sunshine today. We'll get to 45 for a high this afternoon with wind out of the southeast at about 5 to 10. Tonight, mostly cloudy with some fog late tonight. Our low down to 31. Tomorrow, fog early, then becoming partly sunny with a high near 49. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Currently, it's 21.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's Monday morning, February 5th, 2024. Another beautiful day to have you here up north. Live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening, across the Civic Media Radio Network or through the Civic Media app, or maybe through the Up North News Facebook page or the Civic Media Facebook page, YouTube, however you're getting here by podcast. Glad to have you along on this Monday morning as we get our week started. I got a question for you. Do you realize it's just Taylor Swift's world? We're all just kind of living in it as she picks up Album of the Year and another Grammy or two, and uses the Grammys as a marketing tool. As she picks up the first Grammy award of the night, she's like, oh, and by the way, here's the name of my new album, and here's when it drops. And social media went crazy, getting ready to like it, getting ready to order it. It was just that kind of a Grammys for Taylor, but also for lots of other well-deserving women. Women had big roles at the Grammys and a lot of great performances as well. So we'll get into some of that throughout the course of the morning here. What else do we have this morning? We have, in the news, we're going to talk about how there is a bipartisan agreement for border security in the Senate, something that Republicans in the House have been clamoring for months until they didn't, and now would want to sabotage this agreement. Coincidentally or not, on the fourth anniversary of when we noticed the Republican Party had truly become the party of Putin by acquitting Donald Trump in his first impeachment trial about trying to undermine Ukraine. Keep in mind, this was before Russia invaded Ukraine. So we'll talk a bit about that coming up. We'll talk to Dr. Kristen Lyerly. We'll talk to Selena Heller. We'll talk to Brittany Merlot, who's got our forecast for starting off a very warm week. And we'll talk to our friends from Motherhood for Good. They're all here. Kate, Aaron, Emily, and Danielle will be talking about a couple of different things. There was a White House visit by the vice president, rather, to Wisconsin recently to meet with some of the ladies and talk about women's health care rights. And they are also working on a new initiative to increase gun safety on the home front, because we have politicians who aren't willing to try to keep our kids safe out in public in schools and places like that. But we can do things to increase gun safety at home. And so our friends from Motherhood for Good will tell us all that as well. A very busy morning coming up here, but let's start first by telling you, I hinted that it was going to be a warm week. You see that in the temperatures that are, again, well above normal for this time of year. It's 24 degrees here on Lake Wissota. Hayward's reporting 21, Park Falls 26, Wausau 27, Green Bay 29. And then La Crosse at 25, Wisconsin Rapids 25, Oshkosh 28 degrees right now. Madison's at 21, and it is 27 degrees in Waukesha, where we find
One, Greg Bach, who is sporting, he's pointing at his chest. He's open. He's continuing. I'm old, Greg. I can't see what's on the shirt. You're going to have to tell me.
This is a t-shirt from a place called the Swag Shop, which is a barber shop in Atlanta owned by three-time now Grammy winner, Mr. Michael Rendon. I rep Killer Mike.
Okay. Killer Mike. Oh, that's the guy I saw being led away in handcuffs after
he got
a Grammy. You
know what? I don't want to hear this hokum, this hullabaloo. We don't
apparently
know what happened. I don't know
there
what
happened. Some kind of scuffle happened, and he called it overzealous security guards.
So there was a kerfuffle.
A kerfuffle, that's it. Ding ding.
Ding ding. Wait, hold on. Ding, here we go.
play the old man vocabulary
back in
bell. There
day,
we go.
Didn't call it, they didn't fight with guns. They fought with fisticuffs and the bare hands.
Oh well.
Yeah, so but
I did not realize that Killer Mike was T-shirt worthy for you.
Oh, that was one of the reasons why I went to Atlanta. We follow each other on Twitter. I don't know why he follows me on Twitter, but he does. And his group, Run the Jewels, is one of my favorite groups, period. So I'm a huge Killer Mike fan.
Oh, very nice. Okay, so, but you didn't actually see the broadcast itself, well, given I know what your weekends are like.
Yeah,
so.
And his were given out, I believe, like pre-show.
In the pre-show, yes.
Which is just bleep.
You know what? I couldn't agree more. I'll take more awards. You know, some people say, well, then we don't get to see the performances. And it's like, you can do them both, but just, you know, never underestimate the power of a good producer to keep a show moving, you know? For example, you agree? Okay.
I'm just saying, I'm a producer. I keep the show moving.
You are a producer. You do. The In Memoriam segment last night, otherwise known as, you know, Who's Dead Now? It dragged on and on because they now make it about the performers, you know, performing at the time, not the ones that we lost. And I would have loved very much to have heard more, you know, snippets from the artists that we lost. I mean, yeah, you can drop in, you know, maybe somebody singing a contemporary version of an old hit.
Yeah.
But it just dragged. Just dragged. There were other great segments, though. I have not been a huge fan of the Luke Combs remake of Tracy Chapman's Fast Car. We've talked about that previously. But Luke Combs's intro, the things that it was so clear. He didn't just like pick this up off the shelf and go, I'm going to remake this. He had such feelings for the song and for Tracy Chapman. And then Tracy Chapman's on the stage and they're singing together. And I'm just like, oh,
my heart feels the feels.
Oh, I got the feels. I'm like, okay.
I like his version a lot. Cause he's, you know, he stuck to the, he didn't try to like remake it. He sang with the
reimagine
same sort
it.
Of,
is, yeah, exactly. Say it now.
Yeah.
Yep. So that was a great moment. A couple of other, you know, moments that we'll talk about throughout the course, but you know, for the 2/3 of it that I saw, I kind of wanted to see Billy Joel, but he was at the very end and that was way past my bedtime. So I have no idea if it turned out well or not. So you had that on TV over the weekend. The other thing was my wife and I started watching a series and we're always way behind the curve. So when I tell you that we started watching Lessons in Chemistry,
we started watching, you know, MASH.
Yeah, we just started watching MASH. I think it's got some good potential here. We're going to binge that. You know, started that, and we were quickly reminded, like, we are such comedy people.
Yeah.
You know, because there's enough in the world, you know? And where we left off, you know, people who watch the series know that there was a very key moment, you know, with the loss of a character, kind of like Game of Thrones early on, where they, you know, whack a character, and you go, what the heck was that?
Yeah.
And that's what
he
had happened on this.
Important.
We're like, wait a minute. I don't think I want to watch this anymore. Yeah. This is what you're going to do, you know? So we'll see if we follow up on that as well. But how were things at the Laughing Tap over the weekend?
Laughing Tap was great. Josh Adam Myers is a killer. He just, so much energy, and he's a rock and roll comic. Like, he would sing on stage and get people to sing with him, and just fire the room up. And the other two comics, Mitchell Potts out of Chicago and Christopher Schmidt in Milwaukee here. He's our very own. I love him to death. Great sets. And then we got a treat on the early show on Saturday with a guest set from Chastity Washington, who is, in my opinion, one of the best comedians alive.
Wow.
One of the top five in the Midwest. And I'll just say this. You never, unless you are like a theater or arena comic, you never want to follow her. She will bury you alive with the nicest of it. She's not trying to do it, but she's just so funny that you're just like, oh, I guess it's my turn to try to make him ha-ha's now. Okay, fine. So it was a great weekend.
Great. All right. And then I suppose we're getting ahead of ourselves, but I suppose you'll be busy next weekend too.
Yeah, we got the wonderful Jackie Fabulous this weekend, three shows as well. And those tickets are on sale. I would snap those up. I think they're going to go real quick as well. But yeah, we're always doing stuff down at the Laughing Tap.
Very nice. Okay. Let's see. The morning newsletter's out from Up North News. Sign up for it over at upnorthnewswi.com. Christina Lurie puts out why you should be really nice to your local meteorologist today. And we will talk more about that in today's history lesson as well. Let's see, what do we have here? Talking about the UW-Madison, the Badger women's hockey team. And we'll have some sports scores coming up where the Badger women are continue to be on a big old win streak. And she has a headline here, the 8 biggest snowstorms in Wisconsin history. Apparently to remind us that technically we are still in winter, though it's really kind of hard to tell right now. So we'll reminisce about what winters used to be like, before the planet started firing up. All that and more, sign up for it over at upnorthnewswi.com and click newsletter in the top banner. Tomorrow on the program, we will be talking live with Congressman Mark Pocan, and I'm sure that he will have a lot to say about the bipartisan border security agreement, which would include aid to Ukraine and Israel, all of the things that Republicans said that they wanted until they didn't. So that and much more in an update with Congressman Mark Pocan. That will be coming up tomorrow at about 7:30. But right now at 6:17, let's catch you up on a little bit of sports. The troubling things about the Milwaukee Bucks that people who watch the team closely were starting to see develop under former coach Adrian Griffin, despite their good record, there were things that were starting to look troubling. Well, Doc Rivers ain't fixed those yet because the Bucks lost again at Utah, 123-108. So I believe Doc Rivers is now 1 win and 3 losses since taking over the team. In the fourth quarter, the Jazz outscored the Bucks 40-13. The Bucks finally wrap up a very long road stretch tomorrow night at Phoenix. The 6th-ranked Badger men's basketball team lost yesterday to 2nd-ranked Purdue, 75-69. A lot of folks not happy with the reffing, but when you take on a team that big, you're going to have to bring your A game the entire game and overcome what the refs throw your way. The Badgers next are at Michigan on Wednesday. The 9th-ranked Marquette men's basketball team won at Georgetown on Saturday, so they have a 6-game win streak going. They will host St. John's next Saturday evening. The Badger women lost over the weekend. They host Penn State next weekend. The Marquette women next play at Providence on Saturday afternoon. The 4th-ranked Badger men's hockey team lost Friday and tied Minnesota on Saturday. And the 2nd-ranked Badger women's hockey team, they swept 10th-ranked St. Cloud State for an 11-game win streak with 6 to go. We'll unpack some of the headlines coming up next, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Monday morning. When you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for the Devil's Advocates Radio
Show. This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You taught me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Today, young adults face big questions about their future. How will you make your mark? Do you want to be part of something bigger than yourself? Are you ready to learn new skills and make new friendships? Perhaps you have a dream that you're ready to make real. So, how will you make a mark with your future? As you embark on a journey toward finding these answers, the military can serve as a resource for providing help, information, and opportunities. A public service message from the Department of Defense. To learn more, visit todaysmilitary.com.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Coming up about a half hour from now in today's history lesson, we'll tell you why we're talking about or why we're playing Three Dog Night as we get going on 6:20 on a Monday, February the 5th here. On Friday, you know, Fridays used to be slow news days. Fridays used to be known as take out the trash day in the news world, where if there was something you didn't want to talk about, you just kind of quietly released it on a Friday afternoon, and maybe people would completely forget about it by Monday. Now Friday has become like total news dump day, and for whatever reason, the Wisconsin Supreme Court let loose a couple of decisions late in the week worth passing along. For example, the court agreed late Friday to hear Governor Tony Evers' lawsuit against the Republican-controlled legislature, arguing that the legislature is obstructing basic government functions. The four progressive justices agreed to take up the case. The three conservative justices dissented. Oral arguments are set for April 17th. The issue being argued relates to the legislature's Joint Finance Committee rejecting dozens of conservation projects selected by the DNR under the Knowles-Nelson Stewardship Program, so blocking that state funding. But again, the main point of the lawsuit that we've also used to talk about University of Wisconsin pay raises and other matters is that the legislature approves the overall pot of money that is in a governor's budget. When the budget is passed, it's then the executive branch agencies, like the DNR, that then make the decisions on how to spend the money. But the legislature has attached some strings saying, no, we're approving the general pot of money, but then you got to come back to us for every single project along the way. And that's not how this works. And so the governor is asking a court to remind the legislature that's not how this works. The Supreme Court also unanimously agreed to let Dean Phillips on the April 2nd presidential primary ballot, which surprised me at first, until I read more about the reasons why, and then it makes perfect sense. The court ordered state elections officials to include the Minnesota congressman on the Democratic presidential primary ballot, finding that Democrats on a bipartisan presidential selection committee left him off the ballot without even discussing the possibility of putting him on there. Now, this was a meeting that lasted about 5 minutes, where both Republicans and Democrats acknowledge who should be on the ballot based on certain criteria. And that could be, you know, level of support, a level of recognition in the media, things like that. The way that you would have thought it would work was they would say, okay, here's Dean Phillips. Does he rise to this level? The committee, you know, agrees or disagrees. And then they say, okay, he's not going to be on the ballot. But they didn't even discuss him. And the court said that was a failure to properly exercise any discretion. Apparently, they didn't even return the guy's phone calls or emails. Democrats had listed Biden as their only candidate. And the ruling said, we conclude that the Presidential Preference Selection Committee erroneously exercised its discretion under state law with respect to Phillips. And you have to agree, you know, whether Dean Phillips could have gone out and gotten the signatures that he needed. And that was the main argument. They're saying, look, Dean Phillips, he had ways to get on the ballot, but instead he just says, you know, Captain, may I? Well, guess what? He can do that if you at least consider him. And he didn't even consider it. So that's why you'll now see Dean Phillips's name on the ballot. Still, even though he and others were on the ballot in South Carolina, President Biden won the South Carolina primary. Well, I mean, it was kind of a squeaker. He ended up getting 96% of the vote. And yet somehow or another, the media played up, you know, Donald Trump's win in Iowa by a smaller margin as some kind of a big deal. And the Trump victory got, you know, very little in return. But coming back to the state Supreme Court, we're going to hear about them later in the week because keep in mind, they hired these consultants who provided their feedback on possible new maps for legislative districts. Well, now the next step is the parties in the case will respond to what the consultants had to say about their map proposals. Those responses are due to the state Supreme Court on Thursday. So I'm sure we will have something to talk about on Friday morning as we move one step closer toward voters having fairer maps to choose their legislators. You know, for years, America's right wing has simultaneously clamored for better border security, while at the same time blocking steps that could reform immigration and reduce the number of undocumented immigrants. Most noticeably in my mind, back in 2013, when there was a bill that bipartisan negotiated fairly and got 68 votes. It takes almost an act of God to get 60 votes for anything in the United States Senate. This one got 68 votes. But because John Boehner, the speaker at the time, wouldn't even bring it up in the House, this bipartisan agreement died. And so the problems that we've had at the border have been because of Republicans for 11 years now. And yet they're somehow still seen as the party of wanting to be tougher at the border. And then a few months ago, when we were first facing a government shutdown and looking at the potential of aiding Ukraine, again, we heard Republicans say, well, only if there's, you know, border action attached to it. And so Oklahoma Republican Senator James Lankford and others sat at a table for months now and carefully worked out a bipartisan agreement. Details were released over the weekend. And yet those same Republicans who sabotaged a bipartisan deal in 2013 are torpedoing this one as well because Donald Trump wants them to, saying that he'd be able to get a tougher deal if he were to get elected president. Well, first off, no, he won't. He won't. He never got a deal his first time in office. And again, remember what I said about getting 60 votes in the Senate? There's no way there's going to be 60 Republicans in the Senate. So Democrats will just as easily be able to block anything that Trump would want to get through in a second term. So instead of this all or nothing garbage mentality, how about you work together and get the best possible deal you can? That's what we have right now. But you have too many Republicans in the House who either just want to pose for holy pictures and or they just want to do whatever Trump wants to do and Trump wants to do, whatever Vladimir Putin wants to do, which is to undermine Ukraine and make it easier for the old Soviet Union to start to be cobbled together. Because again, who thinks that if Ukraine is completely surrendered, either by war or by negotiation, that Putin's going to stop there? Stop kidding yourself. The thing that's most unfortunate about all of this is that we're talking about this today. Today is the fourth anniversary of when Donald Trump was acquitted by the U.S. Senate in his first impeachment trial, the one where it was clear that he was shaking down Ukraine. Again, in those years before the Soviet Union, or before Russia, same thing nowadays, invaded, trying to shake them down in order to make up something about digging up dirt on Hunter Biden. Had Senate Republicans done their job 4 years ago about a president undermining global security, we wouldn't be in the pickle that we are today. There are many people in Ukraine who would be alive today who are not, and our politics might be more united, knowing that politicians were willing to cross over party lines and do the right thing. We didn't, and instead, Putin's puppets are as active as ever. We'll chat with Dr. Kristen Lierley and more coming up next. You're up north.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's Home for Matt Flynn Direct.
What's on your to-do list? Check your mail? Get groceries? How about getting your annual vaccines? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do.
Because we've got you with local vaccine events and access to transportation, protecting yourself and your loved ones is not a chore anymore.
You've got this.
A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging. Funded by the U.S. Administration for Community Living through a grant to U.S. Aging. Learn more at yougotthis.usaging.org.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
If a dairy farm, actually any farm in Wisconsin, wants to expand, they can't go it alone. I'm PM Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Monday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Our regulatory process in Wisconsin has gotten to be so complex that it literally overwhelms farms without some support. Now, Edge Dairy Cooperative has added some staff members to their team to try to help with that expansion. One of those, Tim Baumgartner. He comes to Edge Dairy Cooperative with a financing background as well as a familiarity with the regulatory process here in Wisconsin.
The biggest challenge is for the dairy farm to want understand how that process works, right? There's a limitation as far as, you know, resources that the farm has, probably a limitation in resources when it comes to, you know, the regulatory side of it, the department themselves. So it really is, you know, important in what we're looking at is for us, for our organization to really be a conduit between the dairy farm and the regulatory compliance arm.
Tim Baumgartner, now one of the resource people available for farms looking at expansion through Edge Dairy Cooperative. Markets and overnight electronic trade as we get started on a Monday. Holding firm, we've got numbers next.
You hear that? That's the sound of Dairyland Seed bringing the yield bigger and better than ever before. We're talking our best corn of all time, our strongest silage lineup ever, and the greatest soybeans in our history. We're talking a full lineup of seed proven to outperform the competition once again in independent head-to-head trials. See the performance data for yourself at showmetheyield.com. That's showmetheyield.com.
We're exploring farming in the last frontier, Alaska. Come and join us. Hi, everyone. I'm Pam Yonke. The date's August 22nd through September 1st. We'll visit a variety of Alaska farms, including a private boat excursion to experience a shrimping operation. Of course, you'll get all the majestic scenery and impressive wildlife along the way. Visit holidayvacations.com, keyword Pam, for more information and to watch a travel video, or call 888-557-1020 today. Well, the Dow Jones Industrial Average this morning is down more than 100 points, and that has kind of put the chill into our commodities as well. March corn's down nearly 3, December new crop down a penny, 4.76. March beans are down 2, November new crop unchanged at 11.71. July wheat's down 6.5, 6.06 a bushel. As far as our Class 3 fluid milk contracts are concerned, currently March milk is unchanged at 1738 a hundredweight, April milk down 6, 1770 a hundredweight. Barrel cheese on Friday gained a penny at 155. 40-pound block cheese down a penny and three quarters at 165. Double A butter was unchanged at 274 and a half per pound. I'm PM Yonke.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
A mix of clouds and sunshine today. We'll get to 45 for a high this afternoon with wind out of the southeast at about 5 to 10. Tonight, mostly cloudy with some fog late tonight. Our low down to 31. Tomorrow, fog early, then becoming partly sunny with a high near 49. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Temperature now at 19.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
My love is warmer than the warmest sunshine, softer than a
tell you why Petula Clark is being played in our history segment coming up in just a little bit. But here's Dr. Kristen Lyerly joining us from the Green Bay area. And we can say that again for like 2 weeks in a row from the Green Bay area. You're still home.
I'm still home, and it feels so good to be home.
The ever-traveling physician has not been traveling lately, but as we know, the only constant is change. Yes.
Wow.
Boy, is it early. And so that I was telling her we had the same thing. Like, we were, again, home with a quiet weekend, and it's weird and it's relaxing all at the same time. So.
And it's February and it was beautiful. So we got outside and we rode our bikes and I did some yard work. And yeah, it's been really just a little different.
And you did catch all of the Grammys last night.
Start to finish, baby. I love the Grammys because I love all the music and watching the combos and the In Memoriam piece, which I thought was incredibly well done last night.
Pat doesn't think so.
It's a good thing she doesn't listen to this top part of the show here. Yeah.
Really? Pat, what did you not like?
Pat said Stevie Wonder, overrated.
I wanted to hear from the artists who departed, which is nothing against, you know, Annie Lennox or Wendy and Lisa or Stevie Wonder, but I would have wanted to hear Randy Meisner, Bobby Caldwell, Sinead O'Connor, Cynthia Weil. They could have done an entire segment on Cynthia Weil and all the songs that she wrote. I would have loved to have heard more of that. So I get like one tribute song, but for those folks, it's kind of like this is our last, you know, hurrah with them. I would have liked that, you know. So the songs were nice, but I wanted to hear from those who we lost.
I will offer a differing opinion. So the Stevie Wonder bit with Tony Bennett, I thought was so beautifully and artfully done. And it's not a last hurrah. It's a reminder of how these people contributed to our music catalog and live on in our hearts. And it should inspire you watching Annie Lennox and Wendy and Lisa sing Nothing Compares to You, which was made famous by Sinead O'Connor, but written by Prince.
Right.
To watch that and go, oh yeah, all of that stuff together. Like, you can't put all of that on stage, but it can make your mind go, I'm going to listen to that tomorrow. I'm going to add that song to my playlist.
It is clear that, yes, Stevie Wonder was completely moved by Tony Bennett, Annie Lennox, the same by Sinead O'Connor, and Luke Combs by Tracy Chapman. I also spoke earlier in the show about how, again, I wasn't crazy about the remake at first, but when you hear what Luke Combs had to say about Tracy and the song, and then she's up there on stage, it's like, okay, that is definitely from the heart. That is not some, you know, crass music business decision like, oh, this one's going to sell a bunch. He clearly was touched.
And even when she was singing, he was mouthing along with her. It was like he couldn't stop himself from singing. It was so sweet and so genuine.
And you see how he like really kind of cleaned up as well. Like, he wasn't going to go with the, you know, the scruffy beard and the cap. Not that it looks bad on you, Greg, but that he, you know, he put on like a almost a suit for the occasion. And I thought that was pretty, pretty cool that he did that. So it was good all around. The one thing that I kind of rolled my eyes at, and again, I like Taylor Swift. I have total respect for her, but the first award that she won of the night was the complete marketing thing where she was like, her very first words were, "This is my 13th Grammy." We're like, yeah, we get it. You know, and she talked about how it's her fans are the reason why she wins these things. Like, yep, she was saying my fans are more,
what's wrong
more
with
numerous
that?
Than your fans. But then she's like, and so here's the name of my next album, The Department of Tortured Poets, and it'll be out April 13th. Bye. We're like, you just totally use that to just drop a commercial in for your next album, which, again, is completely on brand for her. But it, shall we say, it lacked a little sincerity, which I did get from her Album of the Year speech. That one, she did seem much more, you know, sincere in wanting to let people know how much she loves what she does.
What was the first award? Like, what was that award that she got for?
It was a pop performance, of pop single of the year or something like that.
What better way to advertise yourself than during the pop award?
I mean, come on. SZA's whole performance was a commercial for MasterCard.
Yes,
which
it was.
I thought that was just dumb. I mean, we were watching that going, come on, is this where we're at right now?
Yes, this is exactly where we're at right now. Is that's how you make your money.
Did either of you two watch SNL this weekend?
No, just the weekend update. I just wanted to catch that. So
I saw the cold open.
It was quite interesting because the host, I can't remember her name right now, was busted for really slamming Jennifer Lopez for being talentless. And
what
she said in a podcast, like, Jennifer Lopez doesn't have talent, blah blah blah. And she referenced it in a sketch. And at the end of the night, if you watch the Good Nights, they don't go near each other.
Ooh,
yeah!
I did not know we had that.
Chilly.
SNL now with beef
drama.
They had Nikki Haley in the cold open, talking to the Donald Trump character about why he wouldn't debate her, which was really like the actual skit was really funny at the beginning, but when it got to the Nikki Haley part, it got really like uncomfortable.
It always gets cringy when they bring even when Barack Obama was on, it wasn't that good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're just not that funny.
They're not.
You know what else wasn't funny? Back to the Grammys. I did not need to know that Miley Cyrus was not wearing underwear. I could tell by looking at her dress. So when she declared it before she walked off stage, I thought,
like, really?
She's a little too comfortable.
Oh, yeah. That always reminds me of, you remember the movie League of Their Own?
When
Madonna's in there with Rosie O'Donnell, and I mean, the Madonna character makes some comment about, you know, maybe my uniform opens and my bosom pops out, and the Rosie O'Donnell character says, "Do you think there's anybody in America that hasn't seen your bosom already?"
I love that. I love that movie so much. I cried so hard.
I saw it not long ago. I do too. I just thought it was great. So, all right. So you got outside. You got out and about. You were busy a few days earlier with that great little public forum talking about, you know, women potentially running for Congress and other things. And you're going to continue that this Thursday, I believe.
Yes, we are welcoming Kelly Peterson and Alicia Sanders, who are these two just really dynamic, fun, visionary women, both considering running against Mike Gallagher up here in the 8th Congressional District. And this is new because Gallagher didn't even have an opponent last year. But this year, I think we're feeling hope in the 8th CD, hope up in northeastern Wisconsin for the first time in a long time. And it's not just northeastern Wisconsin. It's really across the state. The more that we see these new, now we've got news, like we know we're going to get new maps and these maps are going to be fair. And so candidates for the first time in a long time feel like it's worthwhile, worth their time to put all this love and this energy into a campaign because they could potentially get elected. And that wasn't the case in the past.
And maybe new congressional lines as well. Now, even if there are, that case has not been taken up yet. But even if they did quickly write new lines, it probably wouldn't change a whole lot. But again, it's just the whole notion that you wouldn't have these originally rigged maps anymore that I think gives people, reason to believe, like, if I do get involved now, the deck isn't stacked against me so blatantly as it's been for these past many years.
Well, yeah. I mean, here in northeastern Wisconsin, we've got 23 seats on the ballot in November. Only two of those seats are held by Democrats currently. And this is the third largest city in the state. This is a fairly purple area. So this obviously does not represent the people. If you look at the Senate map in the Green Bay area, we've got three senators who all live within 5 miles of each other, and their Senate districts occupy the whole northeastern part of the state. So it is really, it just is that fresh feeling of like, wow, things are finally starting to change after all of this time and energy that we've put into fair maps, into bringing our, you know, democracy together and making sure people's voices are heard.
It's clearly irritating some folks because for the second Sunday in a row, Derek Van Orden just went on a complete bender, a Twitter bender, and was just, you know,
posting. Thanks for clarifying that it was a Twitter bender.
Yes, posting, you know, insults and other negative things, you know. And also, and somebody else pointed this out, you can always tell when he starts getting a little nervous that he might be going too far because then he goes to some local businesses and he snaps, you know, selfies of himself with regular folks. Not all the time, just, you know, at certain points when he's trying to soften up the image, but then it's completely undone by calling somebody, you know, an idiot or whatever name, you know, in a later tweet. Mark Pocan picked up on that and, you know, started tweeting back at him or about him. And so we get to ask him about that tomorrow. Congressman Pocan will be our guest at 7:30 tomorrow here on Up North News Radio. As we kind of look at why, again, for all the talk that, well, let me bring it to Congressman Gallagher's standpoint here, because I've mentioned Ukraine. I've mentioned Israel. But this bipartisan border security bill was probably also going to include aid to Taiwan. For a congressman who's all the time talking about the Communist Chinese Party, the Chinese Communist Party, undermining this bill, torpedoing this bipartisan border deal, sends such a message of weakness to China and to Russia and to our NATO allies. It sends it to Iran. This is just such a huge mistake if Republicans actually go through and torpedo something that Republicans in the Senate have negotiated in good faith.
But we see this over and over and over again. This is not strategic thinking. It's not planning. It's not for the good of the country. It's for the good of the party. I mean, Gallagher is always about how can Mike Gallagher get to the next step instead of what is the best thing in these complicated situations. He voted to keep George Santos in Congress. He voted against the continuing resolutions to keep the government open, to keep our active duty military people supported, to keep the government funded. Three times he voted against keeping the government open. He is not thinking, these folks are not thinking about what the best thing is for the people. They're thinking about what the best thing is for themselves.
Yeah, it is. It's just, it's pure, you know, naked politics. And I reminded folks earlier of the 2013 bill, the one that got 68 votes in the Senate, but that the House wouldn't even take it up. So again, it's just a matter of reminding people, don't just listen to the tough talk, because they're paper tigers at this point, where they say they want to be tough. I loved how they had like rallies down at the border over the weekend. And some folks were actually kind of upset because they got down there expecting to see this quote unquote invasion. And they're really, you know, there's nothing like that there. There's, you know, a process that's happening at these border checkpoints. And really, how big an emergency is it if you got time to put on basically a music festival at the border? Doesn't seem like it's a big old crisis to me. It's
Wait a
serious
minute.
Problem, but not a crisis.
What they're hearing on Fox News is not actually what's happening in the real world.
I know, right? Somehow, I feel like they might have exaggerated things. And the thing is, they'll continue to say it. They'll continue to say open borders and crisis and emergency. But, I mean, I put up on social media the Republican congressman from that area, Tony Gonzalez, I think his name is, from Texas. I mean, his pinned tweet is, you know, this is an emergency. We need action now. But his most recent post says, well, it took the Senate months to come up with this deal, so it's going to take us months to read it. You put those two tweets next to each other, it's like, I guess it's not that big of a emergency.
Reading's hard, Pat.
Reading, I know.
You know, like, going back to Derek Van Orten really quick, I can't stay away from him on Twitter, and he infuriates me so hard. But ever since working here and listening to Pam Jahnke and Hans Breitenmoser, when he starts to tout himself as the hero of the farmers, and I'm the first Wisconsin congressman to be on the egg, I get so angry at him, because I'm like, what have you done? You've done nothing.
No, it's all talk, no action. Yep. Paper tigers, like Pat said earlier. I mean, it's like Gallagher's like that with veterans. I am a veteran. I love the veterans. When it actually comes to supporting veterans, it's not there.
No.
And I think that for people that are frustrated by President Biden's numbers in the polls, especially when you consider what the economic data looks like, what I would say again is, in all of these instances, again, it's February 5th, which means the election is, what, 9 months from today. A lot happens in 9 months.
Oh, a lot can happen in 9 months. Let's talk about that.
In poll, this is not OBGYN chat, Dr. Lyerly.
It's, okay.
Okay.
Sorry.
No, I was going to go somewhere. No.
I derailed you.
Yes. We're going to talk about what's happening with babies who are born 9 months from today coming up at some later date, but not right now, because today's history lesson is coming up
You're
next.
You're so blush.
This is
Up North News Radio. We'll be back.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allbald Show.
After my wife died, I felt like I lost everything, including my love of fishing. But one day, my granddaughter called, and I realized I still had a lot to look forward to. I got referred to a psychiatrist who explained depression can happen to anyone. Getting help doesn't make me weak. It makes me stronger. I just wish it made me better at fishing.
Mental health care is working for Diego. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
This is Three Dog Night.
One Cat Morning.
Selena Heller is here along with Whiskers. That would be the one cat. Corey Wells, lead singer of Three Dog Night, born this day in 1941.
I forgot about this song.
Yep, passed away in 2015. Also, birthday anniversary for Hank Aaron, the real home run king,
yeah,
who was born this day in 1934, passed away in 2021.
Let's acknowledge his association with Eau Claire.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Played here.
And, yeah, for his first ever kind of exposure to the northern part of the country, and always had nice things to say about the Chippewa Valley. Mm-hmm. The number one song this day, well, let me put it this way. The number one song yesterday in 1983 was Men at Work with Down Under. It was replaced on this day by Toto.
Hurry, boy, it's waiting there for you. Gonna take the life to drag me away.
Who is it that just did the remake of this?
Weezer.
Weezer, like a decade ago.
No, like 2 years ago.
Like at least 3 years ago.
All right, who's running to their Google machine next? Yeah. All right. Let's mess up everybody's phones. Siri, when did Weezer do the remake of Toto's Africa?
All right, it may have been 6 years ago. Whatever.
Oh!
That was pre-pandemic? That felt like that just happened.
Uh-huh. This is how life works, Greg.
Time is alive. Everybody. Oh, whatever. Like you're a doctor or something.
The pandemic kind of stretched the time-space continuum there. Ms. Heller, how are you?
I'm good. We were busy, as opposed to you guys. We had 6- and 7-year-old birthday parties all weekend.
I did too. It was weird. I don't know any 6- and 7-year-olds though. It's weird. They all just showed up.
We mentioned earlier Petula Clark. She had the number one song this day in 1966 with "My Love." We'll play that one a little bit later on. On this day in 1958. The U.S. military lost a hydrogen bomb that still hasn't been found.
Oops!
It was lost in a midair collision off the coast of Savannah, Georgia, fell into the ocean, and has never been recovered. And sources disagree on whether it was a live bomb or if it had been, if the trigger had been removed. So far, so good. Fingers crossed, Savannah.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Another birthday today. Sarah Evans, country singer, is 53. Here's my favorite song that she sang more than 6 years ago.
My little ponytail girl grown up to be a woman. Now she's gone in a blink of an eye.
I love Sarah Evans so much.
What was that, Greg?
I love her so much. She's got such a wonderful voice.
Very much.
And she's so pretty.
And I do. I really like Suds in the Bucket. Great song. One more birthday. Spin Doctors lead singer Chris Barron, whose birth name was Christopher Barron Gross, is 56 today. And on this day 1 year ago, Beyonce won 4 Grammys, breaking the record for most all-time Grammy wins with 32.
Oh, boy.
Did you hear Jay-Z last night?
I was just going there next.
A little too honest. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah. He has never been shy about saying how wrong it is that Beyonce has never won for Album of the Year.
Oh, yeah.
And she didn't, and Taylor, of course, won it last night.
Wasn't up for an Album of the Year last night, was she?
No, she wasn't. Yeah. And again, she still has the record with 32. Taylor up there like, oh, this is my, what was it, 13th?
Yeah.
13th or 16th Grammy.
13th, her favorite number.
13th, oh yeah, her favorite number.
Oh, God.
Oh, by the way, did you know that she has an album coming out? Selena, did you see any of the Grammys?
Just a little bit, but then I read lots and lots about, her announcing that. All the kids were excited about that. So, it worked.
I loved watching
and a lot of
the
adults.
Audience. Yeah, I mean, hugging other people. She brought Lana Del Rey up on stage with her. She was, when other people were winning, she was rejoicing. It was really neat to see her appreciating being part of the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean,
she didn't give enough acknowledgement to Celine Dion when she was up there, like that exchange.
Yeah, agree.
That was one of the...
Oh, my God.
Well,
yeah, kind of took the award and walked up to the microphone.
Well, you know what? Contrast that with what Miley Cyrus did, because she got her award from Mariah Carey. And she's like, Mariah, stay here by me. And then Miley goes on to tell like some kind of a long, kind of convoluted story. And Mariah it's Mariah Carey. She has this look like, I don't want to be here.
Yeah.
Who are you? I'm the queen. I have to go sing a Christmas song someplace right now. So
Pat,
probably work
Pat,
the
we've
other
talked
way
about
around
this.
With Celine.
We don't slag that song in this house.
I'm still listening to that song like all of the time because guess who plays it all of the time? Christmas music playing.
No, we love the Mariah Carey Christmas song.
Greg, could you please cue up Simply Having a Wonderful Christmas?
I was going to say, it's not Paul McCartney. What are you bringing that up for?
I mean, that was the thing. Is I was like,
Anyway, today is National Chocolate Fondue Day.
Oh, I can't hear you, Pat, anymore. You're cutting out there. You're cutting out, buddy.
National Pork Rinds Day.
Ugh.
National Nutella Day. Mm. Nutella, where are we? Up or down
Nutella,
on this?
Nutella, fondue, pork rinds. What's
pork
going
rinds.
On today?
National My Fridge Day, I guess.
Yeah, well, it is Freelance Writers Appreciation Week. It is School Counseling Week. Pride in Food Service and Nutrition Professionals Week, because I don't think you can say Lunch Lady Week anymore. And it is National Weather Person Day. So whether they're a meteorologist, a weathercaster, presenter, whatever.
We get to celebrate Brittany.
Yes, that's why I'm telling you now, so that we have a proper celebration for her when she gets here. I don't know what do you get a weather person?
A barometer. I'm not even kidding you. Ask her about her barometer collection.
Oh, she's the one with the barometer collection. That's right. Yes, she does. Wait till you hear about that. And then coming up in our next hour, we'll have our friends from Motherhood for Good here. They will talk about the vice president's visit and a little time that they got to spend with Kamala Harris and a new initiative for home gun safety. So all that and more. Plus, again, Brittany's forecast and Terry Bell with 3 things you need to know to start the week. All ahead here on Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio. Refreshed.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
I saw the Ramones in that place on their last tour.
Oh, wow.
I was doing the club next door, and we just walked next door after our show.
Did you use the old, we're the comedians line?
That's a big thing in stand-up. For those of you listening, comics will use that to get in anywhere. Hi, we're the comedians next door.
Yeah, we're the comics.
Like you're with the FBI or something, but sometimes it works. People are like, oh, that's so cool. Come on in.
Oh, you're comics. Yeah, come on in.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 8 till 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC.